Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and John Osher.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome in at the Wild West Guns and Golden Monday. Jaguars Today just getting underway here live at Everbank Field in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. The senior writer from Jaguars.com is John Osher. He's with me. Fat Tony is here. We will debate and discuss and dissect the game from yesterday. Jags fall to 0-6 for the next 2 hours right here on 1010XL. And you're certainly welcome to be a part of the program at 641-1010 or tweet us in a variety of ways at MD_1010XL, at John Osher, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren. We'll give you the fan feedback spotlight question of the day coming up in a couple of minutes. But, John, certainly a lot to look back on this one. And you can play both sides of the fence. You can, if you want the positivity, you say, you know what? That third overall pick looks legit.
Right? Yeah, nobody wants positivity.
Well, some people do. Yeah. No, right? Yeah. If you choose to go that way.
Right.
Okay, you say, you know what? Because I've seen some of that reaction on Twitter.
Sure.
And I think Twitter's a pretty good gauge of the immediacy of people's feelings, because people tend to not filter themselves that much there.
You think?
Yes, I do.
A little bit?
A little bit. And, for the good and the bad. And so you can say, hey, you know what? Franchise quarterback, this season is about his development. Mm-hmm. You can also say, well, that's great. You're still asking me to show up for the rest
right.
of the season, right? And there are 10 more games to play, and I'm going to put my heart on the line with this team each of the next 10 games, 10 of the next 11 weeks, and I want some results now. That's great, and we're happy about the future, but the future is never guaranteed.
Right. If you're looking for long-term good sign prognosis out of Blake, which is, you know, it was funny. When he wasn't playing, I got 80% of my emails were, I don't care what happens, I just want to see the kid, right? I mean, and I'm
right,
sure we heard
right.
it.
I hear you.
Well, you know, obviously now they're seeing the kid, it's, I don't care what happens, I want to win with the kid. Well, okay, that's a fair thing to want. But if what you want to see are signs and, you know, I think proof, I think after three games watching Blake Bortles, there's no question in my mind that at the very least, he's going to be pretty good. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be great. I don't know what level he'll reach. But the things that you see that you keep waiting to maybe not see 1 week, well, okay, now we've seen a chink in the armor. So far, no. So far, all the stuff, keeping his eyes downfield, having the presence, having the poise, being able to move, all those things we've talked about that I think you have to have now in this league to be good, he's still got. But I'm sort of tired of talking about it too. Everybody's sort of tired of talking about it now that, okay, now you've seen it. Now let's see some wins. People want to see it.
Let's see some improvements in some other aspects. And I do think.
I think you did on paper yesterday, and we'll talk about it all. Too many critical mistakes. I thought they basically, for the most part, outplayed them. But you can't outplay. This team can't be 0-2 in turnovers and expect to win.
0-2 in turnovers.
Meaning 0, they
right.
force
you're,
none
you're
and give it none.
Right. Two turnover deficit in that regard.
I don't think they'll ever win if they're -2 in the turnover ratio.
This year.
For this year, yes.
This year. It would be difficult to overcome because they're not getting, they are being asked because of the nature of the protection, the inability to run the football, the lack of separation from the receivers, the overall youth. I'm not, these are just reasons, not excuses.
Right.
You can feel however you want about it, but they're being asked almost every time to march 8 plays, 10 plays, 12 plays.
Well, and yesterday being asked to march 80 or more yards, I think.
Over and over and over again. Started inside
the 20. I think every
20,
time. If I'm,
except for the onside kick.
Okay, right.
Right, but yes, for the vast majority of the game.
And that's hard for anybody, much less all rookies on off. Or
the one time they got on the board early, they got the big play, right? Clay Harbor's on a burner, but he slips behind the defense, and Blake Bortles sees him. Wasn't the prettiest pass, but it was deadly accurate, right on the mark. Clay Harbor.
Sure looked pretty when he was floating into those
hey,
hands.
Hey, look, 59 yards, right. Flipped the field, and they capitalized and they punched it in. That's yeah. how it happens in the NFL a lot of times. You don't see march after march of 10, 12 plays because so many things can go wrong.
Right.
Over the course of that time.
And what you don't have yet, and you keep looking at this team wondering what's missing, what's not there, outside of Blake, who's obviously still developing, you don't have any guys yet who have either come into the league or have developed into big play guys, guys that you know if you throw them the ball, those guys with swaggers, those difference makers. They didn't have them when they took over at the beginning of last year. They're trying to draft them, trying to get them. They're not available on the street. You don't get them in free agency. So you're still sort of waiting for some guys around Blake to be able to step up and take over. I don't know if they have those guys yet.
And I don't know. I was watching Sunday Night Football last night, and look, the Giants got killed in that game. But if you watch the game, there were several occasions where both teams on third and medium to long, they're throwing the ball short of the sticks. And guess what? Their guy makes a play. They make a guy miss. How about Odell Beckham as a rookie on one of the plays? It's the only play he made in the entire game, but he catches the ball, he turns around, and he gets violent with the defender to get himself past the sticks. Where is that in Jacksonville? I mean, I know we got a bunch of young guys. Odell, he's a rookie too, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee, these guys are allowed to catch the ball and then get physical with the defender, break a tackle, make a guy miss, make a play. And that's exactly what you're talking about, John. The Jags, to this point this season, just don't have anybody that's doing any of that.
Right.
It's catch the ball. If you're in some space like Clay Harbor was, he's going to run for a little while. If you're not, then you're going down. Nobody's breaking tackles and making plays when it doesn't appear there's any to be made, which is why I'm not so upset with the play calling so much as I am the guys that are getting the ball just not making anything happen
right.
when they do.
And they've sort of talked about that a little bit. You know, I think that's a little bit of what when Gus talks to the guys about it not being enough just to get better. There's a time to win. And I'm not enunciating that message from last week very well, but when he talks about there being another level to reach, that's a little bit of that, meaning you got to make the big play, the above the X's and O's, seize the moment. All that stuff, I think, sort of plays into that, and that's what really hasn't happened. Like yesterday when Will Blackman forces the fumble, and then they don't get the ball in that situation, that big play, that big moment, they just haven't showed a knack for that yet.
That's a huge play.
On either side of the ball,
which
really.
Is that, and I don't know if that is a case of you're being just having the spirit knocked out of you. We watch all summer long these guys on plays where it's ridiculous right. the extent that they go to.
Right.
Guys down the field, he's turned around, he's jogging back to the huddle, and they're trying to swat the ball out of a guy's
right.
hands. That's what they get ingrained in them. And here you got a live grenade. Somebody went for it. I can't remember which. Somebody went for it and was just clumsily missed it. Okay, that was effort. I mean, you're not
right.
always going to recover a bouncing loose football. But the rest of them all just kind of stood and watched and said, oh, this play's over. There's no whistle.
And play that was on. Sort of the weird thing that there was that play, and I agree with you. It was weird. It was, it didn't fit. But at the same time, this is a team that felt sort of listless for a while. The game felt listless for a while. You felt like it was over. It was 16-7. And then all of a sudden, they make a couple of plays to get back in it. They have the drive where Cecil fumbles, and they have the next drive, and then they have the onside kick. So you didn't sense any quit in the team. I didn't sense that. There was a lack of effort at the end. But yet there's that one play.
Is it a brain cramp?
That,
I mean, what do you call
it? That
just
sort of didn't fit. Well, again, it's like you said.
It looks like
an incompletion at
right.
first. But
isn't that
like
ingrained
you said,
in you? That's what's drilled
into you.
Every
day during camp, you see these ridiculous fumble recoveries that are clearly incomplete passes that they go after. So, again, that was a weird-looking play.
It really was. All right, we will open up the phone lines to you at 641-1010. A lot to get into from this game, unfortunately. Another Jaguar loss, Cleveland coming into town this week. And you may have noticed Cleveland put the wood to the team that beat you last week in your house. So there are no easy Ws on this schedule, and there shouldn't be in the National Football League. But certainly doesn't get any easier this week again as Cleveland's playing good football, some of the best football they played in a long time. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony here with you. Lauren Brooks as well. Find out what that music theme is coming up. Your Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight. I went old school today. Good, the bad, and the ugly. Give it
I
to
like
us.
That.
Yeah, right? Good, the bad, and the ugly. What's the good? What's the bad? What's the ugly? The absolute worst from yesterday's performance for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll take your calls and we'll discuss over the next 2 hours. Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Snoop Dogg. Drop it like it's hot. I think this seems to be pretty guessable today. I'm going to guess in general, because I don't think this is a Jordan Todman theme necessarily. I'm going to say this is a theme about mistakes hurting the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday. Lauren Brooks.
I'm answering the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback spotlight question of the day. The good, the bad, the ugly. You'll hear some of the good, you'll hear some of the bad, and this was definitely one of the ugly.
Well, you gave it away then.
Well, you guessed it. You had it right.
Did I? I don't know. I think maybe not. Not really. There was no good in my answer, in my reply, but...
You would have figured it out.
Eventually. You're usually good to go with the question of the day, if nothing else, as a fallback, but...
Well, otherwise I have to use my own brain.
I want to see what people come up with for the good outside of Blake Bortles if they do. Because, I get it. Hey, you should be happy, and I'm getting a lot of people tweet and say, hey, look, I am patient, and I am happy, and we're competitive, and I do see a bright future. And that's great. Hey, I don't knock you at all for feeling that way. Likewise, I don't knock a fan that says, all that's fantastic. But
it's the NFL.
It's the NFL.
You need to win games.
4-18. I mean, that's for the last almost year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And, you look at the Oakland Raiders yesterday, right? All right, you're all excited about Blake throwing for 336. David Carr just put 4 touchdown passes up on San Diego yesterday, albeit at home.
Mm-hmm.
That Raider team any good? I mean,
no.
He's making Andre Holmes look like a Pro Bowler, though. Now, Andre Holmes can get separation. That is one thing down the field. That guy's pretty fast. But I said David, Derek Carr.
Right.
I do that all the time.
You do.
I really do with that one. I got no
brothers.
Shot with that one. I know.
He wouldn't mind.
But regardless. I mean, so, you know, you went toe-to-toe with a 1-14.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the NFL, man. I mean, and that's the thing we talk about, progress, competitive, close. Guess what? Other teams are going to progress as well, you know? The Giants looked horrible last night.
Yep.
Previous 3 weeks, they looked fantastic.
Right. And that's what, as we've talked about, the Jaguars haven't gotten the couple of victories that they needed to get when they had close games to sort of relieve the pressure of 0-4, 0-5, 0-6. You know, and that's real. You've got to win those games because at the end of the day, it is professional football. It's not, I mean, I think it was Prosser said, this is not a high school team where they're trying to get better the first
they're
couple
trying
years
to build
to win
character.
District. So, and that's why, I mean, there was a different tone to the locker room yesterday in terms of, you know, this, you just can't keep saying it's close.
I will say this, and I'm not saying the defense is flawless. Certainly not. The first month of the season was not good at all. But you could certainly point to some big plays here, some busted coverages, no question, failure to fall on that loose ball, what have you, not creating turnovers.
The penalties on third down, giving away drives.
Better.
That's
Clement,
irritating.
Jumping off sides.
Twice.
Now, one of them, they completed the pass anyway.
Right.
Twice. What would have given them first downs. And I think it was Will Blackman with an illegal contact on third down. The same drive.
And they're just
the
killers
half.
Because, you know.
These are not rookies.
They're not rookies. And in the NFL, you just have, and I don't even know what stat it is, but when you see a play like that, when you see a team get the team off the field on third down, and then all of a sudden the other team's back on the field because of a penalty, you just always get a feeling, well, they're going to go down and score now.
Right.
Because
second chances.
It's just hard to get a team off the field twice in one drive. You know, to have that sort of deflating, you always get the feeling they're going to go down and take advantage
but
of it.
3 and outs in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Okay. And ultimately, the
they
bottom line.
They did enough
line,
to win.
The bottom line. They allowed 16 points, John. 5 other teams in the NFL allowed 16 or fewer yesterday. They all won.
Well, this is the second game in a row.
Scored points.
If I'm remembering right, that they didn't allow a second half touchdown. Right. I mean, Pittsburgh.
Right. Pittsburgh had the pick six. But
right.
That's not
so
that.
The defense, after halftime, didn't allow the other team to get away. Right. So,
26 total points by the defense, not counting the take the pick six off the board.
Right.
That's not on them.
And again, there were times, we talked earlier, Mike, there were times when it felt, again, like the receivers running too open, but all that. But that happens in the league. The league is designed to have offensive success. So a defense typically is not going to go a whole game just shutting down the opponent. There's going to be open guys. There's going to be guys who complete passes. But 16 points is a good enough defensive effort to win, and 17 was last week.
And typically, you saw it last night, Tony. Giants got shut out. Could they run the ball a lick last night? Couldn't run it a lick.
Nope.
You become completely one-dimensional when you're in that situation. And they're not even – I mean, this is the one issue I had with the play calling. I brought this up yesterday. Why are you bothering to ball fake – in the last 5 minutes of the game? Who's believing that? Who thinks you're going to run? You're down two scores with 3-4 minutes left in the game, and you're already getting sacked a bunch. Why are you taking any time away from your drop? Get back there, get set up, throw the football. They're play faking in the middle of the line, and guys are running right past it. I mean, they're not even stopping to slow down. That to me was a mystery. Why are you bothering to do that?
That's sort of every team sort of does that.
I don't know. I couldn't imagine. Maybe.
Yeah, you know, it's almost one of those things where I want to encourage fans to watch another team as if you are a fan of that team for a week and just see how aggravated with the same exact things you are with them. But why are they running this route to
It's sort of one of those NFL things, sort of nonsensical, that always happens.
Difference is those teams, with the exception of Oakland, all have some wins on their record.
No, I understand.
And that's the difference.
And look, we talk about adjustments for this team. It's been one of the big complaints from the fans this year. You just talked about the big plays that they had in the passing game. Well, they were all in the first half. So did they make adjustments in the second half to take those away? Charlie Whitehurst had 201 yards passing at the 12-minute mark of the third quarter. He finished with 233. Did they adjust? At that point in time, the game was 10-7. I mean, they made adjustments at halftime, obviously, on the defense, and they worked. The offense, again, for the second week in a row, didn't get enough done to put this team in a position to win.
I pointed this out yesterday. You know, somebody made the point, you let Charlie Whitehurst go nuts on you with throwing in nobodies out there. I said, those nobody. Kendall Wright, Justin Hunter last week had 9 catches for 146 yards and 3 touchdowns against Cleveland. Okay? Difference is Cleveland scored some points, and they overcame it. Okay? Kendall Wright might as well not have showed up yesterday. 1 catch for 6 yards. Delanie Walker had 3 catches for 57 yards. He didn't break your back.
No.
I mean, Justin Hunter made a couple of plays. He made a play down to the 1 yard line. You're going to give up some plays in the NFL. They did not. That Charlie Whitehurst did not tear that team apart yesterday.
To make sure that statement you made is true.
Yes. Right, so you're going to, I don't care who's under quarterback. Austin Davis threw for 375 a week or so ago for St. Louis Rams. Had anybody heard of him a month ago? It happens in the NFL. Watch him tonight, Monday Night Football. Let's get John up
nice
here
plug.
To start us off. I mean, you don't have to if you don't want to.
You are a pro.
No affiliation with 1010XL, whether you watch Monday Night Football or not. I'm just saying you could. Hi, John, how are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
I'll tell you what, I'm a little frustrated, and I listen to the morning show as well. And, you know, I heard Dan and Prost just jumping Hearns for not running up for 3 or 4 extra yards on that last reception before the field goal attempt. You know, at what point do we start pointing, you know, the arrow towards Gus Bradley? You know, that challenge in the second half for what was clearly a ground-caused fumble was a silly challenge.
Terrible challenges.
They were horrible.
Absolutely.
And I know we only had 12 seconds, but if we had gone, you know, if we had 12 seconds, we could have thrown a quick out and gone 4 more yards forward or something along those lines.
Well, 12 maybe seconds, you can run 10 yards, honestly.
Well, yeah, regardless. And maybe Scobie would have had more time to get his special kicking ball in place, and I love Scope, but, you know, his excuse was, well, we couldn't switch out the ball. Well, that's ridiculous. It's just... You know, at some point, I realize we have a very young offensive line, which is, at this point, horrific. I love the Jags. I've been with them for 20 years now. But, I mean, we've got to start putting, you know, the stuff going elsewhere. On the flip side, though, Bortles is the real deal. I'm not dismayed, but I am frustrated. You know, that get better every week, it's making me crazy. It's making me crazy because there's only been one real huge significant improvement, well, two. The defense is finally coming together, and they're becoming a cohesive unit. And we still have some issues in the secondary, but and Bortles is the real deal. But I mean, come on, you know, don't blame Hearns. If we had a timeout there, I think we could have gotten further down the field and thrown the ball, even though Lauren doesn't think so.
All right. Thank you, John.
You wouldn't have had the timeout there, by the way. You would have used it earlier in the game because of the situation of the game you were in, instead of letting 40 seconds run off the clock. Now, you may have had more time in that situation.
That's a good point.
Than the 12 seconds, but you were going to use the timeout earlier in that game.
But if you use it at a different time to conserve time,
sure.
Then you have time, then it's not a question with 12 seconds left, do I run another play?
Probably not.
Or not. And Prosser made the point this morning, that no other team in the NFL is not running a play with 12 seconds left. And I agree with that, honestly. And I get it. If you turn it over, then you're going to point the finger. You got to trust your quarterback that you look. If it's there, boom, you throw it. If it's not, you throw it over their head, out of bounds, and you still get that same attempt. There's no benefit. I saw people posting last night on Facebook, oh, well, you kick it on third down. If it gets blocked, you get another opportunity. No, you don't.
Yeah, that's such a low risk. There's such a low percentage chance of that happening. You don't coach with that in mind at that point. You know, I get that with so many rookies, with the pressure they've been facing, I sort of get the instinct to say, you know, let's just go ahead and kick it. But in that situation, it's tough not to run another play.
Yeah, quit picking on Warren. Okay. Pick on her on helmets and heels, not on this.
They run all their routes to the sideline anyway. Why not one more bootleg with a 5-yard route to the sideline?
Why not just put them in shotgun and look quick, and if it's there, it's there. Run a double move. You got time. 12 seconds? You don't have to run a 5-yard out. You really don't. You can run a double move. Most passing plays in the NFL do not take 12 seconds to execute. So everyone's sitting on the out, running out and up. And try to hit a 15-yard pass and step out of bounds, and then it's a chip shot field goal.
Go for it all. Go for the touchdown, Mike.
Nobody ever misses a chip shot field goal. Just ask Mike Nugent, right? You see that 36-yarder yesterday for the win. They had it centered. Centered in overtime for the win with seconds left in overtime. They just knelt right in the middle of the field. Here it is, 36, chip shot. Mike Nugent missed it. James, you're up next on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing today?
Good. What's up?
Just where I'm at with the Jaguars. I'm a lifelong Jaguar fan myself, though. Just judging, I guess, the Gus Bradley, Dave Caldwell here, I'm not going backwards in terms of the other guys who were here before. I'm looking at the big picture in terms of their draft picks and what kind of impact they have on the game, or lack of impact on the game. And I'm wondering going forward, is any of these guys going to be impact players to help the Jaguars win games? Because that's the only way they're going to get better, that they high draft pick start producing and making game-changing plays. And right now, except for Blake Bortles, I don't see it from none of them. Give me y'all comment off there.
We've talked a lot about this because John covered Indianapolis for years as well, and we bring up the example of Reggie Wayne a lot. When it comes to the receivers, go and look, and you don't have to look. I'll show you the numbers because I was looking at them this morning. But you look at what receivers typically do when they come into the National Football League. Reggie Wayne's rookie season, catching the ball from Peyton Manning, mind you, had 27 catches for 345 yards. John, you said there were points in those first couple seasons when they questioned whether this guy had it or not, right?
Yeah.
Am I putting words in your mouth? I don't mean to.
No, because the numbers weren't. I mean, there were questions not whether he could be a legitimate NFL player, but whether or not he could be worthy of a first-round pick.
He was a late first-rounder.
And for the first 3 or 4 years, you would have never thought that once Marvin Harrison retired that they would be fine for number one receiver. You did not think of him for the first 2 or 3 years as a potential number one, top 20 of all time receiver, which is where he's going to wind up numbers wise. You didn't think of him like that for the first 2 or 3 years.
You look at a bunch of guys, and I just looked at another veteran, Steve Smith, today. Until year three, had a big breakout season. That's much more typical.
Right.
Year three, year four, and I know you don't want to hear, oh well, that's too long to wait because all these other pieces. Maybe it is. What are you supposed to do? They went out and got a couple of guys. You hope they develop even faster than that, but for right now, that's who you have. And as we also have discussed off the air a bunch and even on this program, the one difference maker potentially in that receiving core is suspended right now. Right? And that is a guy that, contrary to what Ryan O'Halloran thinks, because he doesn't think he's all that good, I'm not trying to bring up anything Ryan hasn't brought up on the air himself. To me, you don't just fall into 200-yard receiving games in the National Football League.
I think he's pretty good.
I think he's pretty damn good. And if you had that.
Well, and again, that sort of goes back. The guys that people sort of say, I want an impact wide receiver. Well, Julio Jones A.J. Green, guys like that, come into the league right away and make a huge impact.
They have special physical traits, though.
They're also top 10 picks.
You could have drafted a Kelvin Benjamin this year.
Top 10 pick for a reason.
Right? You could have drafted Kelvin Benjamin. You wouldn't have Blake.
That's the point.
Okay?
You've only got so many of those top 10 high equity picks. This year you took Blake, so you didn't take a wide receiver in the first round.
I think it's fair to say, look, Cyprian, sometimes I wonder what he's watching. Mm-hmm. What game is he watching? He's running around over all the praise he's gotten at future Pro Bowl or Sip Squad and all this. I mean, they're lucky. The reason they didn't have a bigger game yesterday, the Titans, is because Charlie Whitehurst is Charlie Whitehurst. Mm-hmm. Because on that play in the first half, when Cyprian is sprinting towards the line of scrimmage, and all Delanie Walker's doing is running right by him, and Whitehurst sails it 5 yards over his head. He's streaking for a touchdown, man.
Played pretty well at times and had too many plays like what you're talking
too
about.
Too many just head scratchers. He made some great plays coming up in tackling guys violently near the
Luke
line of scrimmage.
Luke Joker sort of the same way. Talking to Baselli on the way home last night, he watched Luke specifically. Said he may have had his best game.
That's what he said this morning. I heard
yet
him say
there
that,
were still a couple of plays where, it's sort of the story around the team right now. There's a couple of plays from each guy. They're sort of costing him and tripping him up and preventing him from being able to win.
But if you got playmakers, you can overcome that.
That's what they don't have.
You can't
right
expect
now.
Perfect games out there. 641-1010. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. We'll continue in a moment on Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
High formation, Storm Johnson dots the eye, first and goal from the one. They'll hand it to Storm. Tries to push his way past that right side. He's near the goal line. Touchdown, Jacksonville. The arms are in the air. That's going to be a touchdown. Storm Johnson scores on his first start, and Jacksonville jumps on top.
Frank Frangie on the call, Jaguar Radio Network. 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Storm Johnson gets in the end zone. I think that it's safe to say, if you choose to, the bad or the ugly, it's your choice as far as the running game, really. There's a spot for the running game to be mentioned today. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight. Going old school. Give us the good, the bad, and the ugly from
yesterday's
loss.
Well, they're 2-for-2 on goal-to-go situations this year.
That is the good.
They got 2 rushing touchdowns on their 2 goal-to-go situations.
I'm so tired of you spinning it positive.
Who's the biggest sunshine guy around here? Is it you and Baselli are going toe-to-toe on this one? Or?
I don't know. I was just telling you, Mike, I'm surprised to hear Baselli say that. And again, he's watching tape that I don't.
Talking about Jokel having the best game.
Because I don't have the coach's tape until Tuesdays. That's when they put it up on NFL.com. So he's already watched all that and says that may have played his best game as a pro. I know watching the game yesterday, I felt like Jokel may be having the worst game I've ever seen him play. It was just because there were 5 or 6 plays where it's like he's getting torched and it was creating problems for the offense. Now, if on all the other snaps he was doing a really good job, that's fine, because I definitely didn't notice him outside of those 5 or 6 plays. But it is interesting hearing Big Bo say something like that.
Look, it is absolutely unacceptable, the degree which they can't run the football. I mean, this is not up to NFL snuff whatsoever. And, I know Gus in the post game yesterday, John said, we ended up with around 82 yards. 37 of those were from scrambles by the quarterback. Man, they had 18 carries for 44 yards from their tailbacks. You cannot consistently win football games in the NFL. You're going to have weeks when you don't need to run the ball, but even the Chargers, who were struggling, all of a sudden, they pop Brandon Oliver in, he's got over 100 yards.
You might have weeks, but at the same time, we've been harping on the young receiver core, the young quarterback. It's tough to just throw and to throw and win without a running game if you're so young a quarterback and receiver. Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees.
They can do it.
Those guys can do it. I've seen them do it.
And look who they got catching the ball for the most part.
Just the threat of the run. If guys like Peyton or Aaron Rodgers can get a linebacker even to lean for the play action, then they can take advantage of that and create plays in the passing game. This offense with these receivers and this young quarterback is not developed to that high a degree enough to do that without a running game.
Absolutely.
And it's just.
And that's the thing of it is now that this has been, at least with the defense, all right, you know what? You can debate me if you want on this, but I see progress certainly the last two games you compare to the first month of the season. There's nothing.
No question.
Nothing has progressed.
If the last two games are the defense, then over the course of the season, it's pretty much what you thought you would get.
Occasionally, you pop that 9-yard run the Jags do, and you're like, oh.
Right.
You know, that's the equivalent of most teams popping a 30-plus yard run, honestly, because that's the standard right now.
And I can understand the fans' frustration. Look, if the defense was playing at this level for the first 4 weeks of the season, I think they beat Philadelphia with the opportunities that they were given in the first half of that game. I don't think that game ends that way. They're not going to let Macklin run that wide open. They're not going to put themselves in that position with that Sproles
run. They played pretty good
run.
In the first half, but you're right.
It was these big plays that they're not allowing that at this point in the season. And I think they can win that game at Philadelphia if the defense is playing the way it is right now. Now, it wasn't, so they didn't get the opportunity to do that. Washington, their offensive line was so bad, I don't think anything could have saved them.
Well, the defense against Washington, remember, I mean, they had those drives in the first half where, as bad as the offense was in that game, the defense had those drives in the first half where the Redskins were just running downhill.
Kirk Cousins carved them in that game too at times.
Yeah, and again, you're not seeing that. The defense against the run has improved to the point where it's not getting you beat.
By the way, what was Kirk Cousins looking at yesterday on that last play?
I don't know.
Did you see the end of the game?
I don't know what he
Unbelievable.
Thought he saw.
I mean, he just lobbed it right to the middle of the field.
Yeah.
Rashad Johnson, it was just like a fair catch of a punt, and he ran that thing
And
back.
I don't think they're going to win the game against the Colts if the defense is playing that way. But I think they could have won that game against Philadelphia with the opportunities the defense had created in the first half if they were playing at the level they're playing right now. And maybe everyone feels a little bit better about a 1-5 team with a rookie quarterback coming in and playing three games at the level that he's played. But they're 0-6. And they've been so bad the last 2 weeks as far as just putting points on the board, and the defense has been good enough to win these last two games. Just go get one more drive. Finish one more drive the last 2 weeks, and they have an opportunity to win both these games.
Well, I think what we talked about earlier is a big key to that. When you don't have a guy that you just know can go up and get the ball, it's sometimes tough to finish. It's sometimes tough to get that one drive, that one touchdown that you're talking about. And I think that's right now, that seems to be lacking on a pretty glaring level.
By the way, let's be honest here. I'd like to know what defenses are being called by Tennessee in a situation when you're up two scores with 4 minutes or less left in the football game. I think they got the ball with 2:43 left. Tennessee's not going to come up. Let's just bracket these guys, and you still had it was a 9-play drive that resulted in Blake Bortles with.
And they had a couple of those drives. Remember the one that Cecil fumbled on was sort of like that too.
But I'm talking. It was time to go. It wasn't like it was time to go, and this was a tie game, and Tennessee's playing you necessarily the same way they played.
Two of the Jaguars' drives were sort of that ilk,
right?
Where Tennessee was playing a certain way that allowed some more room in the passing game that would have happened in the third quarter.
It was I thought the decision to throw that ball to Clay Harbor, it worked out great. Clay Harbor's got three guys around him. He bounced off the tackle.
Like a little pinball.
If he gets tackled at the 5-yard line, how much time is going to burn off that clock? And you're sitting here saying, how can you not throw the ball in the end zone on that play? As soon as they get the first down, Tony's like, all right, three shots to the end zone, hurry up, and then kick the field goal, and you still have time for the onside kick. And he throws it to the 5. If he gets tackled, what are you going to run off? You got to run up then. You probably got to spike it.
Right.
Then you get maybe one more shot in the end zone there, and you know maybe you score, maybe you don't.
My guess
is
that'll be pretty emphasized. I mean, it's a learning moment. In college football, you can do that.
Sure.
Because you come up and
they'll stop the clock.
So I think that's one where maybe the instinct takes over. You make that throw. They'll come back, show that, and say, you can't do that here because it's going to be this.
And oh, by the way,
it worked out.
But it's a learning point because you're right. It's a detail that a rookie makes that a veteran would instinctively know not to make.
And it may be the one play in the game you can point to and say, guy made a play. I mean,
Clay Harbor made a play.
That's
absolutely
a ball thrown behind him. He bounces off the defender. He gets into the end zone, and you don't have to worry about that. That's a guy making a play to help his team get in a position to win a game. And it's really the one time they did it. And, yeah, those two drives in the fourth quarter, I agree with you. I think that the defense was playing differently. The drive where they weren't was the one that ended in the interception, where Todman drops the ball, where Blake Bortles overthrows Harbor on a wide-open route to the sideline, where they had an opportunity to get the ball at the 15 with the first down and not have to have a third and 13, where now they're sitting at the sticks and waiting for that kind of throw. but they didn't because they weren't able to execute two other plays on that drive.
What you've got is, if you look at the stat sheet, they had a bunch of drives yesterday where they got a first down or two and then were out. And they were starting deep in their own territory. But again, I think what they're lacking is that big play to finish those drives. Mike, you talked about it earlier. It's tough in the NFL to put together 12 or 13 play drives that go 85 yards, that finish off. And that first drive was a thing of beauty, but like you said, they had a big play in the middle there. Gus talks about it all the time. Statistically, if you can hit an explosive, your percentage of scoring on that drive goes so far up. They're not hitting those right now. And that's sort of the process when you're this young and you're still looking for your playmakers on offense.
641-1010. Daniel, you're up next here on Jaguars Today. How are you? I'm sorry, DJ.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I mean, I know our offense is young, but still, our like Jeff, this still need to go because this is the first time we had a whole complement of receivers and not, what, two deep passes? I feel like, yeah, that's coming straight to culture because when you have that much tears, even if they're young, this is the first time you have a whole complement of receivers and you still don't kind of expand plays and try to create something, that is going to play calling. And y'all, you know, take me off there on that.
John, you were at the game, so let me ask you this. It's hard to tell on TV sometimes what exactly the plays look like. Did it feel like, I know rewatching the broadcast, especially on the plays where Blake Bortles wound up scrambling, it felt like they wanted to take deep shots on those plays, and there was nothing there, so Bortles tucked the ball and ran. Did it seem that way in the stadium as well?
Yes, it did. I never felt like, oh my goodness, everything is so constricted, they're not throwing the ball downfield. When you're under that kind of pressure, six sacks, as we talked about, even on the play where he threw the interception, he's under duress right when you get rid of the ball. I don't know that he could have held the ball much longer and looked for a 25-yard pass downfield at that point. So
he got sacked six times. I mean,
were there other times that, you know, yeah, you could have taken the shot downfield, but if you're throwing into double coverage downfield or you're having to lob because you're throwing too early, again, I just haven't gotten that same feeling that they're not willing to take shots. Jed Fish doesn't mind taking shots downfield. He likes to go downfield. But if the circumstances of the game don't dictate that you can do it, it's very difficult to do.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
This date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry on October 13, 1985. Tony Dorsett became the sixth player in NFL history to rush for 10,000 yards as the Cowboys defeated the Pittsburgh Steelers 27-13. I believe his name was Dorsett, and he changed it. I believe because it sounded better. I guess that's his prerogative, certainly. Same day!
It is a sharper sound, Dorsett.
Did he change it that day?
He may have, that very day. The same exact day, 1985, Phil Simms of the Giants passed for 513 yards against the Bengals, setting NFL records with 62 pass attempts and 29 first downs. You can just smell the pop quiz coming here momentarily. This date in football history brought to you by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, featuring the Stop Snoring Mouth Guard. 620-9225. Visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. Gentlemen, there are 15 quarterbacks who've thrown for 500 yards in the NFL. I gave you Phil Simms. Without getting three strikes, how many can you get? Fat Tony, who you got? 500-yard single-game passer. Or jump right in, Osh, if you'd like.
I think Marino did it once.
Dan Marino threw for 521 for the Dolphins versus the Jets. That was that game that the Jets won in overtime. Ken O'Brien to Wesley Walker. It was a glorious day at Flagler College. Watching in what we used to call it the TV room. There was one room with one of the, like the box TV that's behind your head right now. And that was the, quote, TV room. Hey, kids, you're spoiled, okay, with all your flat screens. Who else you got?
Pretty sure Van Brocklin did it, right?
Norm Van Brocklin is your leader with 554 yards. Did it versus the New York Yankees.
Yep.
Back in, doesn't have a date on here. How about that? The New York Yankees, the L.A. Rams, and the New York Yankees. Who else you got?
I mean, I'm clueless on this one, but I'll guess Dan Fouts.
Fouts, not in there? You're looking at the list right now.
No, I'm not.
What are you looking at over there?
I wish I was. If I was smarter, I'd have done that.
All right, how about this? I'll narrow it down. There are seven active quarterbacks who've thrown for 500
yards. I think Brees
has
done it.
Drew Brees has done it. He threw for 510 versus the Bengals back in 2006.
Peyton's never done it.
Peyton Manning has not done it.
No.
No, because he threw his career high.
Right, which
last
was tied
week.
For like 49th all time.
Yeah.
By the way, 462 yards.
Which tells you where he is on that yardage list that he's 49th is this best game.
Crazy. I'm going to give him to you,
so
by the way.
Brees?
You already got Brees. Okay. You don't get double credit. Roethlisberger,
Brees.
For 503.
Brees?
Versus the Pack. Tony Romo did it versus the Broncos last year.
Oh, yeah.
Eli Manning did it
yep.
With 510 versus the Bucks in 2012. Tom Brady versus the Dolphins in 2011. Matt Stafford did it. Versus the Packers in 2012, and the other active quarterback who is the only quarterback with two appearances in the top 17 yardage games in NFL freaking history is Matt Schaub.
Is that Charlie Whitehurst?
It is not Charlie Whitehurst. Matt Schaub threw for 527
yeah,
against your
right.
Jaguars that's... in 2012. He also threw for 497 versus the Redskins in 2010.
Yeah, he had a couple there where they, yeah, yep.
Now that, if you want to blame the defense, go ahead.
Right.
Okay? Chuck Whitehurst throwing for 233 doesn't look so bad right now.
Who are the inactive guys on that list? The guys?
Van Brocklin, we had Warren Moon.
Okay.
Boomer, Esiason, I remember that one back in 96. Dan Marino, you got Phil Sims, we mentioned. Vince Ferragamo did it.
Vince.
Y.A. Tittle did it. He's the only really old school guy on this list. And,
well, Van Brocklin.
And Van Brocklin, right. Those two. And Elvis Gerbach did it. How about that?
That's a good list.
Back
good
in list. 2000. There's your
I knew
quiz.
Like one of the former Giants, and I couldn't remember if it was Tittle or Tarkenton. Because I know Tarkenton was a short time. I couldn't remember which one it was.
Oh, you should have guessed one of them.
I know.
That's a tough break there. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Let's take a quick look at some of the injury news coming out of this week's NFL games. Last night on Sunday Night Football, New York Giants wide receiver Victor Cruz jumped to catch a pass on fourth and goal. When he came down to the ground, immediately collapsed, grabbed for his right knee. It has been confirmed that Cruz tore the patellar tendon in his knee and is going to need surgery to repair it. He will miss the rest of 2014. The New England Patriots, their running back Stephen Ridley and linebacker Gerard Mayo, both left the Pats win over Buffalo yesterday and will both undergo further tests today, an MRI for Stephen Ridley to determine the extent of those injuries. It is feared that both could be torn ACLs that would keep them out the rest of 2014, but stay tuned for the latest on that. And some quick London NFL news, so listen up over there across the pond. Daniel Kaplan of the Sports Business Journal has reported that the owners during their meetings last week voted to require any team that hosts a Super Bowl to give up a home game to London at some point over a five-year period. The NFL is playing three games in London this year. The common thought is quickly becoming that the NFL wants to eventually play eight games in London a year without moving a franchise completely overseas. So that's another step in that direction.
Well, that's a small step, though, because if you're going to only require one London home game for a Super Bowl, you only get to give away one of those every year. You know, that's not going to fill up that schedule, but it does tell you that they've got to come up with ways to entice people to go. And does this mean the Jags now retroactively get four more Super Bowls?
Absolutely.
It would be nice.
I think
it would be nice.
Fair.
And if you read the article on Pro Football Talk, Florio actually talked about, does the London thing almost eventually become like the Hard Knocks deal, where there are certain things where if you meet these thresholds, you don't even have to be considered for having to play a game in London. But if you don't, then we're going to choose somebody to do it. So you can either volunteer or you're going to go play a game in London. And if they are going to play eight games a year in London, if that is the eventual plan and not have a franchise over there, you're going to have to convince eight teams to give up a home game to go do that. I mean, that's a lot to convince these teams of. It's working out well for Jacksonville to this point. You wonder if some of the other teams that are having the same kind of issues, teams like Oakland, and if they see that and say, yeah, we can make it work playing a game a year over there.
I don't think it's the economics of it, because I think you make the money if over there, but it's the giving up the home. It's giving up home field advantage. It's giving up, we don't have to travel. You've got to come to Foxborough, and you got to take the bus in, and you got to do all these things that are not so easy, and you're out of your routine. Well, then we're both out of our routine.
Well, it also creates some holes in the schedule. I mean, look at the Jaguars. Jaguars get a lot of benefit from being over there, but it does take away a game from EverBank. And if you package a couple weeks of road trip around that, then all of a sudden you're going a long time without being in your home stadium. And teams have to weigh that in their overall equation.
Absolutely. All right, there you go. We've got four tickets to the McGladrey Classic coming up in Georgia, and the tickets are good. You can use them for any day, but they're only good for any one day. You can choose the day that you'd like to go. If you'd like to get your hands on those tickets and go watch a little professional golf, that is an official PGA Tour event upcoming. A four-pack of tickets, simply yours for the asking at 641-1010. We'll take the third caller right now on 1010XL, 641-1010, and you can have a four-pack of tickets to go check out the McGladrey Classic. We will take a break when we return. We will get back to the thought about Dave Caldwell and the roster building. Take more of your phone calls as well. Same number, 641-1010. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday right here. Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Oh, the Black Crowes kicking my heart again. Happy Monday. Jaguars.
Sorry, I typed it's again. Tough. It's supposed to be around.
Kicking my heart around?
Around. I was on the phone when I was typing.
Same difference.
Wish the ball could have been around.
Keep your head in the game, Lauren. Focus.
Yeah. Well, you're apparently way too concerned with your game commentary, according to the callers this morning.
I know.
And
gosh.
Down,
God forbid I even dispense any opinion.
Yes.
That's not my job. I'm just supposed to answer the phone.
Just kidding. So there you have. All right, let's get back to the point we're discussing a little bit earlier with Dave Caldwell and the roster building, which we've been discussing off the air here. You know, and I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, this particular one. Just got this tweet in, said, Bleedy Ray Wilson seems to be better than Grotz. For instance...
For 5 seconds yesterday, he may have been.
His first career interception, Bleedy Ray Wilson.
Yep.
Ball thrown, like Tony said, camping at the sticks, and a ball came right to him. Bleedy Ray Wilson couldn't get on the field except for special teams last year.
Right.
I'm not saying he might turn out to be a guy. I think that he was a name. Nobody watched UConn play. I'm sorry. Very few of the people that were touting him. What people do, and I'll admit, I do that sometimes. I'm not watching UConn play. I look at what the guys who do watch a film, and they say, these are the guys. And you say, okay, well, maybe this will be a guy. Everyone has him graded in the second round. And then he's sitting there in the third, and they take another guy from the very same school.
Right.
So I made it a point last year to take a look. Bleedy Ray Wilson. He played in 13 out of 16 games with zero starts. For Tennessee.
Which is what you hope that a third or fourth round corner will do.
Right, because you want typically on
you a typical
roster in the
NFL. You should have a guy starting already, moving him out, and then moving the second or third or fourth round corner in his second year.
And which is what they did with him, and he now has one career interception. And I'm guessing, and my guess is that this tweeter is basing it on, oh, he made a pick yesterday, he's better than Dwayne Grotz.
Well, and Tony had a decent stat about... you know, they threw it Wilson.
10 times. They completed 7 passes of 10 thrown at him. He had the pick, which includes the pass defense on that play.
Right, you get a pass defense, which is kind of weird that they that people are always like, oh, 2 sacks and 2 tackles for loss. No, you get a tackle for loss when you make the sack.
That's right.
So you get the double stat on that. So that was one of the 3 passes that were not complete, so they picked on him basically yesterday to the tune of a 70% completion percentage.
They picked more on McCourty on the other side, but I mean they're 7 out of 10 throwing at him. He was close, by the way, on another play where very similar to the one that was the interception. There was another third down where he sat down on a route where I think it was Allen Robinson or it may have been Clay Harbor that stopped at the chains basically and turned around, and he almost jumped that route too. I mean, they were obviously waiting for those kind of plays with this Jaguar offense, and that goes back to a point that you made early in the show. These guys don't know how to run routes yet, and you'll watch a replay, and it's Allen Robinson doesn't know how to set up the corner when he wants to get to the sticks and turn around yet, and because of that, you're seeing a bunch of really, really tight windows for Blake Bortles to try to make those throws, and the catches are all going to be contested until they figure out how to do that at the pro level.
Let me be clear. That doesn't anything Bleedy Ray Wilson's done does not mean Dwayne Grotz has been a Pro Bowl caliber performer. I'm not trying to suggest that, so I just want to make that clear. I'm just saying, people get caught up in, in the draft thing. Right. This guy, that guy, should have taken this guy. We've all done it, certainly with Gene Smith. When you take a punter, when there's a guy who comes in and wins a Super Bowl as a quarterback in his second year, and yesterday, notwithstanding, has looked like one of the rising stars of the National Football League, that is their job, ultimately. Sure. You know what? And they're going to get fired eventually.
Right. And that will be the litmus test. But if the roster doesn't look significantly better next year, then I think all of a sudden you start having some merit at some of this talk. As of right now, it's simply too early considering where they started. And that's where we are.
Just had something go out. Tony made the point a minute ago, as well, when we were discussing this. Blake Bortles. How many people booed him on draft day?
Yeah.
Right? GM, who? What? Overdrafted. I mean, I'm not saying that everyone did. Some people were probably excited. Hey, you took a chance on a quarterback, whatever the case. And ultimately, if Blake Bortles turns out to be a top 10 quarterback or top whatever, let's say top 10 quarterback in the league for a decade.
Then it makes these first two drafts look just glorious.
Yeah. Do people typically, now we've had this discussion because the rivalry in the division, and we on the air for hours every day. Did Bill Polian lose his fastball in terms of drafting when he was in Indy? I mean, he went through a stretch where he couldn't miss, especially early in the draft,
right.
And he built the foundation of a great team. But when you have that foundation, when you've got Peyton Manning,
mm-hmm.
you can miss, and people aren't going to say Bill Polian's a bad GM.
It also becomes significantly easier to draft once you've got that guy, because then you know the direction, you know what that guy does well, what he needs, and I'll go back to the point. Right. The Colts begin drafting. They had a quarterback, and then they had the offense that worked, and then they said, okay, we're going to draft defensive ends and pass rushers because we're going to have leads. We need closers. You start building the identity of your team, and it's much easier to draft once you know what that identity is. And I think as Blake continues to improve, you're going to see them put pieces around him and start to develop an identity around him.
Yeah, by the way, to be fair, Jason, who's tweeting, he said, I based it on Gratz getting benched in consecutive weeks. I said he seems to be better than Gratz. I was seeking your opinion. I'm not calling him out. I'm just saying don't base – it seems that he's better because you just happened to watch a game yesterday where he had an interception.
Right.
Prior to that, Bleedy Ray Wilson has yet to make any impact in the National Football League. Could he be better than Gratz? Perhaps. I'm not saying that. That's why I said I'm not trying to – prop up Gratz. I'm just saying don't get caught up on a small sample size, too small sample mm-hmm. size of anything. I'm not trying to say you're wrong. You may be right. He may, in fact, turn out to be the better selection somewhere along the line.
And getting back to Luke Joeckel, if after he's played 18, 20, 25 games, if we're still seeing some of the slips and some of the leakage, so to speak, then you can start saying, okay, well, what was that pick about? But right now, he is still a developing player who's trying to figure out how to play in this league. And that's why you see some of the inconsistency.
All right, 641-1010, if you'd like to get on board. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony here with you. And we do have a winner. We've given away those tickets. Where are we going next? I think Dwayne, next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Dwayne. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
I enjoy the show. Yeah, I still think that I say it all the time that we fool around. I think this is what happens when you give somebody 3 years to accomplish a goal. I mean, came in and Gene Smith, okay, no, we got to break this team down to build it up. Okay, well, after, what was it, 3-4 years, we figured out he didn't know what he was doing.
Some figured it out a lot sooner than that, by the way.
Right. But they didn't fire him until 3 or 4 years, right?
That's on Wayne Weaver. Okay.
Okay. But then we come back with this next regime, and instead of saying, "Hey, we want to win now," and then it might take us. But it's like last year. Oh well, the losing was acceptable, and now this year it's like the losing was acceptable because I think last year it was an addition by subtraction. Texas wasn't the regular Texas, so we won two games against them. Because they fell down, not because we came up. You know, so I think this year we're going to lose to them twice. And I think my frustration is we're constantly saying, okay, well, the losing is acceptable because it's the process. It's the process. And I think these last two, we have gotten, we're showing better defensively because of the talent that we are playing. It's not because we're improving. We're just playing lesser talent. That was
all right. I respect your opinion, Dwayne, but there's a difference between winning now. And first of all, show me the formula to win now. And tell me, because if there's a formula, I guarantee you there are GMs out there. Jerry Jones has been playing the win now game forever, right? How has that worked out for them? And this year, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Most years, how's that worked out for the Dallas Cowboys of recent vintage? Not very well at all, right? If there's a formula that you could say, hey, you know what? We could win right now. We could win 10, 12 games and be in the playoffs this year. We may not be able to sustain it, and we'll redo it again in a couple of years. Half the teams in the league would be doing it. The only way to win long-term, consistently, is to have the quarterback in place. And, again, I'm not making an excuse. You can feel however you want. You can say losing's unacceptable. I'm not telling you how to feel about it. And I totally respect Jaguar fans who do feel that. I don't care. I don't want to hear the excuses. Enough is enough. 0-6, back-to-back years for the fourth time in NFL history. History that a team has started 0-6 or worse in back-to-back years. It doesn't happen very often, but unless you have that quarterback in place, and how are you going to get that guy? Who was there last year that you would have put in place? E.J. Manuel? Well, he's been benched already.
Right.
Okay, who was it? So this year, the quarterback presented himself, and a lot of people at the time thought, this is crazy.
Some people booed.
So many. And you know what? He's turning out to be exactly what you would hope you would get by taking a guy with the third overall pick. So, I get it. There's frustration. There's no easy. Unless you're winning consistently 10 to 12 games every year, people are going to gripe. And even then, New England has done that for how long? They go through a rough stretch for a couple of games this year, and people are killing them. It's the nature of being fans to a large degree.
I covered the Colts. They went 12-4, seven straight years. I got emails after every season except the Super Bowl season saying that there were issues at quarterback, that they'd never win the big one with this guy. So, I mean, that's just what, you know, and again, it's a completely different thing that we're dealing with here. But as you said, Mike, it looks like they're getting the quarterback in place, and the defense has been better. The last two games have looked more like what we thought it would look like, but that's not enough, right?
The area I would be critical of Dave Caldwell, personally, my philosophy, that's a lot of cap space that is going to waste. And I know you can roll some of it over, and that's part of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep in mind that you can roll over. So it's not like it goes away, poof, it's gone. But you can sign a few more guys. Not everybody has to be the guy, Dakota Watson, who let's hope he turns into something great based on some measurables. It's okay to sign some 8-year vets. And they went out and they tried it with Clemens and Red Bryant, certainly. But it just seems that like there's
a tried to splash
gap and holes
too.
Out there.
I mean, I give them credit for trying.
We talked
that.
About that as well.
Right.
Mac, by the way, may have broken his. I think he did break his leg yesterday. Maybe out for the year. Not that. That's
right.
You know, you can't. Yeah, everybody would have been very happy if they had signed Alex Mack.
Right, it happens.
You know, they tried it with Beatles. And is he a great player? No, but what was the alternative? Having another journeyman guard who's never played much football.
The hope
in the NFL?
With Beatles was to get better at a position where he needed to get better. I don't think there was a thought that he was going to be an elite level.
But
Pro
people
Bowl
see
guy.
What they pay him,
sure,
and they say, "Wow,
that's
you know?
The
that's
perception
the nature of free
risk
agency,
of free
too.
Agency."
All right. What is your thought? I just got that from at K Tucker, Kyle Tucker on Twitter. What's up with Dakota Watson? Is he just that bad at playing linebacker where he can't even get any plays in? What's the deal? With,
obviously, has
your
not
opinion?
Has not been good enough to get on the field. Which means, so far, there's no question he's been a disappointment because they thought he was going to be a guy who was going to be a starter at the auto linebacker, and if he's not, then you know. That signing so far has not worked out.
It's not like, again, it's okay to have some of that where you throw stuff at the wall. And Tony's made the point, too. They brought in Alan Ball, and he's been probably their best corner of the last couple of years. You know, yep. He was a low-level kind of veteran player who'd been in the league that they identified would fit their system. I say low-level, just a guy who hadn't – I'm not trying to insult Alan Ball. He's not a – wasn't established any kind of star.
Same level as Dakota Watson.
Overall approach.
Right.
You think that you saw something in this guy, it may fit your defense compared to what he's been stuck in for
Alan
the first
Ball,
5 years of his career.
Roy Miller, Sendarek Marks, that level of guy –
And they're pretty good.
And so I think Dakota Watson fits with that. When you're signing that level of guy, the idea is you're not breaking the bank. You're not mortgaging the future. You're not limiting yourself in other things that you can do. And you're hoping that a percentage of them will work out.
And if they prove to be more, you give them a contract like you did with Sendarek Marks.
Well,
right.
By the way, they got 19 sacks on the season. So the things that they're trying on the defensive line to at least some degree are working. The Alan Ball bringing him and that acquisition has worked for this team. He's been a pretty good player for this team.
And
they re-signed
Sendarek
Marks.
What you hope now is that over time, Aaron Colvin,
sure,
a draft pick, can come along and prove himself as a core player. And as Alan Ball ages, then Aaron Colvin becomes a core guy there. You have stayed the not stayed the course, but you have bided your time until you have a young rookie who can take over and be the guy who's a core guy. That's the plan. It doesn't work out every position, but that's what you hope.
If that ball doesn't get blocked and it goes for the uprights yesterday, what's the conversation?
Oh, I know.
In all honesty,
go Jags!
Right. I mean, it's like, you know what? We made some mistakes, but we're improving and there's progress. And the bottom line is when it's a loss and you're 0-6, it can be by the thinnest margin and you're not going to be satisfied. And that's totally understandable.
And ironically, that would have been true even though it was a game that in the second half you didn't think they had a chance to win.
And right, until the last two. I mean, we're sitting there like, all right. I mean, with 7 minutes left, now we're going to start establishing the run? What the heck? We're sitting there like, hey,
the ball
inexplicably
went through the guy's hands on the onside kick.
Yeah.
How he didn't recover that on
everything. He shouldn't even try. The ball was just going to run out of bounds. There was no reason he would try. And the point I'm making is, Ball seems to have worked. Mark seems to have worked. Miller seems to have worked. The two swings they've had at linebacker, missed. Geno Hayes isn't giving them anything at the linebacker position.
Right.
And Dakota Watson isn't giving them anything at the linebacker position. And because of that, it is still an area of... It's just weak on this football team right now. It worked at corner. It worked on the defensive line. And you've seen some effects of that for this football team. They're still getting nothing out of the linebacker position because they're 0-2. Maybe they should have spent more money in free agency instead of going Dakota Watson and Geno Hayes. They should have. They didn't. They're 0-2 at that position, and because of it, the position is still suffering.
Well, linebacker is a really, really risky spot in free agency. If you go big there with money.
That's why it's nice if you had an established veteran that's proven he can be versatile, perform. Oh, sorry. I'm going to go back to the Daryl Smith card again. That's one that really bugs me.
But I think I would guess that will be a major focus this offseason.
This tweet we both just got from Dave Westbury, whose fault, and I'm not, this is his word, so I'm not trying to characterize Jokel as not having worked out yet, okay? But he says, whose fault is it when all the scouts and media are saying Jokel is the top pick, but just doesn't work out? The GM? Well, ultimately, it doesn't matter what all the media says. It doesn't matter what all the national pundits say, because not many national pundits were telling you to take Blake Bortles with the third overall pick. GM's ultimately, he's got to take that information, process it, decide who the best player is.
Well, I'm never quite sure how to answer fault questions because there's so many things that go into everything. But, I mean, at some point, if the talent doesn't work out over the long term, it's going to be the GM's fault.
Correct.
And how it's going to play out.
It doesn't matter. My point being, it doesn't matter what the common perception.
But this assumes that Jokel's not going to be a good player. I'm nowhere close to that.
It almost assumes that he hasn't worked out, you know.
Right.
And at one point, wasn't Chris Mortensen and Jaworski and all these guys, or Jaworski, Ryan Nassib's the best player in this draft, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's the best player.
He was being talked about.
Number one overall pick.
Yeah, number six.
Top 10 pick.
Right.
Went in the fourth round, he's a backup, and that's probably what he is, a career backup, and that's okay for him. It's not his fault.
Yeah. He was the hot guy, remember, Tony?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Hot guy. Demontre Moore at one point was the number one guy on a board.
Number one guy. Can't get on the field.
Demontre Moore.
Right.
I mean, the draft process is such a crapshoot. And fans, look, you can blame anybody for anything you want. You want to blame Dave Caldwell because Luke Jokel isn't playing at the level that you expected him to play as a left tackle? That's your prerogative.
Absolutely.
You can do that all you want. There is no right or wrong answer. They're not winning games right now.
And
so
there's
something's
enough,
to blame.
Enough blame to go around.
Yeah.
I mean, for people to say, how come Gus is not taking more heat? You can only mention, you mention all these different aspects so many times. I mean, we could do 2 hours on the decisions to review those plays. If
read
you want
inbox,
to.
Read my inbox. He's taking plenty of heat.
Hey,
there.
You know so what? I mean, right. And no one's stopping anybody from Gus Bradley made somewhere the process of reviewing those plays.
Yeah.
There were bad decisions mm-hmm. made. Whether that's ultimately the buck stops with Gus, but what information is he getting? How is that decided upon? I'm not trying to move the buck, the responsibility away from him. He took it after the game. He said, hey, those were bad choices on my part. All right, 641-1010. We'll get a few more of your calls in, hopefully, before we close out. We'll look at the good, the bad, and the ugly. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight next. Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. I like this song. I don't know if I've ever seen or heard another song by Blake Shelton that I like. But this one's pretty good.
I'm glad you like it.
Thank you very much. Foundation Professionals of Florida will give away some tickets. Maybe tomorrow, maybe Wednesday. Last chance to get in the photo contest. Old School Jaguars giving away a pair of tickets to this Sunday's game against Cleveland, plus a pair of passes to the 1010XL pregame party, courtesy of Foundation Professionals of Florida. If your home's foundation is giving you issues or you just want a clean bill of health, call them at 287-2690. Visit foundationprosfl.com. You can enter the photo contest very simply. Go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/Jaguars Today, and post the photo in the thread pinned to the top. It's simply the theme, Old School Jaguars, whatever that means to you. You may be a young John Osier, picture of a younger John Osier. You're a young guy, but you know. Were you always an Aviators guy? I can't remember.
No, the Aviators.
Pre-Aviators Osier.
Pre-Aviators Osier.
That would be nice.
I was a Barn A guy when I was a kid.
All right.
Barn A's?
I do. I never wore them. I have like a pair of Ocean Waves, free plug. I've never worn sunglasses in my life because I think my head's crooked or something. I've never found a pair that like fits. Like one piece would always have to be up high and it'd never be good.
I had the Flock of Seagulls haircut and my Varnay sunglasses.
I was all about the Flock of Seagulls haircut and many variations
my
on
OP
that theme.
OP shorts.
OP, absolutely.
Maybe corduroy OPs.
OP or maybe some hang tens.
Lightning Bolt.
Lightning Bolt, Quicksilver, all of them. Man, we all like couldn't have been further from being surfers, but we dressed the part in the 80s. Today, Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight asking you for the good, the bad, and the ugly on yesterday's performance. Tony, what'd we get?
From Fun Ghoul, we got the last 2 minutes, encompassed all of it, I guess. From Stevie, we got good. Bortles, the late comeback, fight from the team, bad. Offensive play calling, young O screwing up, and ugly Tennessee. From Brandon, we got good. Blake Bortles only threw one interception, bad Gus challenges, ugly the dropped passes. From Paul, the good is Bortles, the bad are secondary, the ugly the running game, or lack thereof. From Eric, good, the D played well enough to win. Bad, no O-line push in the run game. Ugly, the blocked field goal. Hashtag Titan hate. From Punisher, we got good. Bortles, two-minute drill. Bad, challenges and turnovers. Ugly, the running game. From Duval, good. Blake, bad. Execution on the game-winning field goal. Ugly, losing to a team QB by Hippie Jesus. From Jags Movie Guy, we got good. Bortles, 300-plus yard day. Bad, 6 sacks to a team with only 2. Eek. Ugly, every Titans fan in general. Hashtag DTWD. Hashtag beat the Browns. From John, good, rookie QB marching down the field. Bad, turnover differential. Ugly, bad tackles. Hashtag stuck in PA. From Nate, we got good, Bortles and defensive fixes in the second half. Bad, O-line and turnovers. Ugly, did I say turnovers? From Joey, good, the kid can sling it. Bad, Cecil Shorts the third, fumble was a killer. Ugly, the run game. It was Jim Morris Saint speech bad. From Steve.
Running game.
That's right. Bortles, the opposing team. Bortles is the good. The bad, the opposing team seam route. And the ugly, the hairy-faced women in Nashville. And there we go.
Believe it. A lot of hairy-faced women in Nashville, Johnny?
I didn't see it that way.
No?
I got family up there. I take offense to
Saturday
that.
Night.
Huh?
There's some...
Does your family have a bunch of bearded women in there? Are they like American Horror Story freak show? Is that what's happening up there in Titan
Land?
There's
some lovely women in the Smith family.
Yeah?
Yes.
Even the Nashville branch?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Got all the chromosomes and everything?
We do.
All right.
Believe it or not, we are technically human.
All right. Got this one.
It's a silver lining Monday.
This one from at Rev Rogers, Tom Rogers on Twitter. Can you guys hear yourselves? This is an excuse fest. Hold the Jags management accountable. Didn't you say next year, last year? Well, in terms of when we thought, it depends on what you're saying next year. In terms of competing for a playoff berth, I don't think anybody was saying 2015. But I don't know.
Or 2014.
Or 2014, excuse me. I don't know what year it is because I don't have all my chromosomes.
You're all flustered this morning.
I am. No, I'm trying to respond to this in the appropriate manner that, I mean, do you want us to come in here and bang the table and just, I mean, focus on all that? We're trying to give, you call them excuses. We're talking about the reality of the situation. We point out, this guy doesn't look so good. This guy, you know, what can you do? I don't know what you want unless, if you want us to come in here and call for the head of everyone in management.
Every
I'm not gonna
minute,
do that.
No.
Because, and for the most pragmatic of reasons, if nothing else, you fired Mularkey after 1 year.
Right.
You want to get rid of this group after a year and six games? Good luck getting any coach who's worth a damn to ever take that job again.
Well, and you keep hitting the reset button, reset button, reset button, then all of a sudden you're here all the time.
Here's the thing that you reset. You at least have reset. This is the first time you've drafted what looks to be, from the outset, a franchise quarterback.
It's perfectly understandable that the fan reaction is what it is, but that's not what our job is.
Correct. Right. And look, do we get frustrated?
Sure.
Trust me. We're in here, Tony. I get tired
of writing the same story every week.
We're in here cursing at the TV yesterday. We're like standing up like, oh, they got the onside kick. I mean,
I see you drowned yourself on pizza. You're doing your job.
I totally drowned myself on pizza. Linda Fortunato bought this week, by the way. So, thanks to her.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, look, should we just come in and scream about it every day? You got to look at all aspects of it.
Sure. And again, it goes back to, we're not going to tell fans how they should react to anything.
You can react to it however you like.
We react how we react as well. I mean, we're telling you.
Nobody likes this.
Right. We're telling you what we see and what our reaction to what we see is. That doesn't mean that we're happy about where this team is. Yeah. I would have loved it if Scobie had made that field goal. It doesn't mean that my conversation about anything that happened in that game changes.
Right.
I mean, I'm still disappointed in the fact that they couldn't execute on the plays that they had opportunities to execute. I'm still not so upset with the play calling because I'm more upset about the playmakers on this team. And mm-hmm. I said it a moment ago. I'm not saying that they need somebody. It would be wonderful if Allen Robinson or Marquise Lee or one of these guys would turn into the week in, week out. When the quarterback's in trouble, that's who I'm looking for to make a play. Can we get somebody to be that guy for a week?
Yep.
Where he's going to catch nine passes for a week for 170 yards and a touchdown or two because he makes a couple plays? They're not getting it for a week right now for many of these guys. And hopefully over the course of the second half of this season, one of these young guys emerges as that type of player. It's not there right now. And because of it, they're having to have 12, 14 play drives to give them a chance to get a field goal.
Got to have playmakers.
And that's probably the
biggest
point.
Bang the table when you
point.
Say that,
yeah.
By the way. Yeah.
That's our bang the table point today.
That's right.
Playmaker.
Playmakers. And you were saying.
No.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest point is you look at it, and there's not that above the X's and O's guy right now doing that play to give you the advantage of, you know, everything seeming so hard on offense. Nobody's making a play that looks easy and you're going, oh my goodness. And those kind of plays are what matters in the NFL.
And I think a big part of it boils down to you cannot run the football, and
right.
you're making yourself so one-dimensional. I understand in today's NFL you pass set up the run, but Cleveland, look at their wide receiver core. Josh Gordon ain't playing, okay? Mm-hmm. Last week, they give up 28 to Tennessee. Do you think they feel bad about that? No, they scored 29, okay? And how do they do it? Well, in part because Ben Tate and Isaiah Crowell and that offensive line are opening up holes, and they're able to run the football, and you're making a pretty suspect and mediocre group of receivers. Now, Jordan Cameron had a good game this week. He's been pretty non-impactful most of the season. Been banged up.
I like that word, non-impactful.
Right? I mean, you know, Travis Benjamin makes a play. at the back of the end zone. He's nothing special by NFL terms, but he made a play, and you overcame. And you know what? You don't sit there and dwell and go, man, we gave up 28 points. Charlie Whitehurst played 2.5 quarters in that game, and he threw for 2 touchdowns and nearly the same yardage that the Jags gave up in 4 quarters with no touchdown passes allowed. But they overcame it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're okay, and you move on, and you say, you know what? You're going to win some high-scoring games. You're going to win some low-scoring games. You got to win some games. And that's, and I understand. We get the frustration. Trust us. We get the frustration. I also understand and respect if you're able to have the long view still at this point and say, wow, sure. You know what? Got Bortles, and everything else is gravy right now. Just continue to develop number 5. They need more of you guys.
That's
out
the big
there.
Picture, but, boy, the big picture is tough to see.
It is tough to see in the middle of the year. Absolutely. There you go. From Little Grandma, we'll close with this. Are we the only ones? She's great. She tweets all the time. She's a loyal listener. She loves Osier, by the way. Are we the only ones who heard building this thing takes time? I am sad for the team, but not angry at this point.
Building, I love Little Grandma.
Building it right requires finding the quarterback. Whether it's going to take time or not, they found the QB in Indy. A decade plus 15 years ago, and he struggled mightily, and he went 3-13 out of the gates, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden the rest is pretty storied history. You would take that storied history, despite sure. the playoff letdowns, you'd take that storied history if I gave it to you for the next 10, 12 years.
3 Super Bowls, 1 win, you take that.
I would hope you would take that at this point, but you know what? That's your prerogative as a fan is to tell me to go shove it.
Yep.
It wouldn't be the first time, and I
got an inbox.
It won't be the last.
I got an inbox full of go shove it, Mike.
Go shove it. Come read my Twitter timeline, yep. Johnny.
Same deal.
Right, it's all
you
good,
and me,
man.
Baby.
You got it. And Fat Tony and Warren Brooks and all of us here. Wild West Guns and Gold. Again, thanks to our Monday sponsor, North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, revolvers, semi-autos, rifles, shotguns, sporting arms. They will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the United States of America, guaranteed. You can even trade your gold for guns at Wild West Guns and Gold. Guns4Jax.com, guns4JAX.com, or visit them on Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville, 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor. Thanks to the Ozone. What do you have coming up on Jaguars.com?
Just reviewing the day. It's very much a mop-up day on Monday, meaning go talk to Gus, go talk to the players, try to figure out what happened, and
mop up the blood
get ready for the rest of the week. It's a Wild West Monday.
It is a Wild West Monday.